ready to go. Okay, good morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for staying the course and entering into St. Andrew's life. Long time ago, when we, Cliff and I, joined St. Andrew's, the newcomers class was set up just a bit differently. And David Young, who taught the history on that Saturday, taught every day, and he'd teach a piece of that history every day and then talk about our values. And after about 6 weeks, I was like, all right, already, I just want to be a part of this place. I'm done learning about it. So I don't know how you feel. If there's this sense of wanting to connect further and more deeply with St. Andrew's, like I had that moment, or you may be like, I'm just still fine. Laying low, whatever, wherever you are, we continue to welcome you in that. What we like to do is introduce you all to ministry leaders. Some are on staff and some are lay leaders. So you can put a name and a face to people who are leading. If you have an interest, you can give them a call and begin to participate in that way as the Lord leads you. Some people are not able to be here and who lead ministries and their substitutes speaking for them. That's just life on any given day of availability. But I'd like to lead off with Jim Miller, who leads our prayer ministry. And I can say that St. Andrew's in its early days through now is always based in prayer. So I'd love for him to come and speak about the prayer ministry. And then after that, Tonja Williams will speak about the early childhood area. All those babies you see going down that hallway.
I hope that you can hear me. I have a problem with my voice. So I will try to, can you hear me back there? Okay, so I'm going to go all out, okay? And this is something that I can go all out about because I'm excited about it. If you read what it has about the prayer ministry, you will recognize that there's no way in the world that I can cover, even start to cover everything, the specifics of prayer. But let me say that St. Andrew's is a church of prayer. And there are plenty of opportunities to be involved in some facet of the prayer ministry. And I would be glad to talk to anybody about any facet. But there's one particular area that I come recruiting. Because this, to me, this is one of our more important ones, is our prayer ministry teams that pray off of the sanctuary during communion. And we need more people to be on those prayer teams. And you don't, if you've been somebody who has prayed like this before, you have personally prayed for people for problems in their life, for sickness, for different things like that, we would particularly like to have you. But if you have not been if you do not have experience and you feel like the Lord would lead you to be involved in this type of ministry, we will train you. And because we have the ability to be able to do that. And so so I come just almost pleading because that is such an important part. When a person comes in to that prayer room, we feel like that we have failed if that person does not feel like that they've experienced the love of God, and unless they feel like that they've left loved by us. And I'll also say this, that anything that you come and ask us to pray for in that room, it absolutely remains confidential. So, thank you.
I neglected to tell everybody every ministry has a sheet so you can just follow along and they are alphabetical. Hey, I'm Tanja Williams, and I'm so blessed to be involved in the early childhood ministry, and that is for families who have children birth through pre-K-4. It's a wonderful place where God is at work, where we invite the Holy Spirit to come in and minister to us, minister to the children, and we welcome you to come and be a part. We especially need people to rock babies once a month, which is so fun, so easy, and so joyful. And what we want to do with these young families and with these little ones is it's a place of love. It's a place of ministry. And we want them to forever be able to relate their experiences as a young child as being positive and loving. It's going to impact their entire life, their relationship with Jesus, not only for them, but for their families. Many times, families are just rushing to get here, and it takes all they can do just to get their kids in the car, get them dressed, get the backpacks, get them down the hall, drop them off. And then as they walk back down the hall towards the sanctuary, you can see a visible, just kind of a sigh of relief, and their shoulders just relax as they go into worship, and they're able to really be present to what the Lord has for them. So I invite you to prayerfully consider being involved in early childhood. I'd love to visit with you, have coffee, and just share with you opportunities. So thank you.
Next, I'd like to introduce Joanna Douglas. Joanna is filling in for our youth and student ministry director, AJ, who's got all of those children on a retreat. So Joanna's been involved for 3 years, helping to lead the youth.
And I'm living proof that you don't have to be young, hip, and cool to help with the youth. So they definitely would not call me cool, but they still let me come. Yes, it is an honor to be able to speak on AJ's behalf. And he is the leader of our youth, and Fran Vaught is his assistant. And then there's a small group, of volunteers that I get to be a part of. And you can read mission, goal, description, all of that on your sheet. I want to break down for you a little bit what we do, what our needs are, and then just what a blessing this ministry is in our church. Basically, the heart of what we do is we meet Wednesday nights. It's 6th through 12th graders, and we meet for dinner, and then we break into small groups, which are gender and age specific, and are led by an adult, or including college age students, and then we even have some high school leaders of the younger kids, some very mature high school leaders. We'll have our small group together and then a large group meeting again after that. Some nights we have prayer nights, which you would think, prayer nights, you mean for a whole 2 hours? Yes. And the kids love them. They love them. We have game nights. We have a mission trip to Chicago in the summer that they took, I think it was 31 kids last year. The kids just love it. There are about 50 kids on our retreat at Sagahatchie, Camp Sagahatchie up in Morrilton this weekend. And so there are just a lot of things that we do, and it's ongoing. There's ongoing activity and opportunity for kids to plug in. Just to let you know, some of our needs are for people to make dinner on Wednesdays for 50 kids, make or purchase, and that's, it's tricky, but I mean, even if you wanted to do once a year, that would be fabulous. So that's a need. We have special events sometimes, like progressive suppers, if you ever wanted to open your home for something like that. We are always looking for sponsors for our mission trips, our mission trip in the summer, people who will invite kids to come work in their yards or homes in exchange for a donation to the mission trip. So that's really, really helpful. What I want you to know mainly about this ministry is that this is a group of kids. It has grown so much larger in 3 years since our family first came to the church. But this group of kids is very committed to one another. I can tell you that I'm sad to be missing the retreat this weekend, because I know that those relationships are just getting closer and growing deeper, and they are growing together. They are growing in their relationship with the Lord, and they are learning to encourage one another, and they're being challenged as leaders. And I know that has been the case for my three kids who came. We moved to Little Rock, Arkansas from North Carolina 3 years ago. The main reason we landed at St. Andrews was this is where my kids said they wanted to stay. And they plugged into the youth group. It's been a lifeline for them. And it's been such a joy for me to get to be a small group mentor with a completely different group of kids. None of them are mine. And watch them grow in their faith, in their love for the Lord, and in their ability to serve one another. So we invite you to join us. And if you have any questions, I'd love to.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you so much. Okay, next I'd like to introduce Mary Kay Graves. Mary Kay leads the Prayer Shawl Ministry, which is a lovely ministry.
Yeah. Anybody cold? I have a shawl here. We started this, I guess it says on here, in 2005 or something like that. But we are a group of people that get together, and we knit or crochet, and we make prayer shawls. And we start with, we pray. We usually don't know where the shawl's going to go. We just start knitting or crocheting. We pray while we're knitting, not all the time, because we watch TV a little bit of the time. But we pray knowing that God knows where it's going to go. And then we give them primarily for situations within the congregation where we've had illness or deaths or some kind of a time that people just need to know that this congregation loves them, and when they wrap themselves in a prayer shawl, there's just know that other people are praying for them at the same time. So we, of course, like anybody else, need more knitters, because we can only knit so fast. So if you are a knitter, or you'd like to become a knitter, we teach. We do a lot of the work at home, but we meet once a month down in the library, the second Thursday of the month, yes, from 10 to noon. And just, it's a great opportunity to just kind of meet some other people. Right now, they're all females that knit with us. But it's just a blessing that we can give out through the church. If you know of somebody that you think would be it would be beneficial for them to receive a prayer shawl, just let me know, or Kathy, and we'll do our best. Sometimes we get a little behind, but we'll be happy to. So thank you.
Thank you, Mary Kay. And then next, Mary Millsap. She leads the Needlework Guild. Why don't you come?
I don't lead.
Oh, okay. Karen leads.
I'm Mary Millsap, and Mary Kay Graves also is a member of the Needlework Guild. And this was started, would you say, a long time ago. Yeah, I forget how long Kissy's been gone. Kissy Blanchett, who's a former member of this congregation, and is a very talented artist, and also is a needlepointer herself. And Carolyn Hartstein, who's a former member of this congregation, came up with this whole idea of the kneelers, rather than, if you've ever knelt on one of the old ones and hit a button, it was a practical, more comfortable solution, as well as beautiful. And there's a tradition in Anglican churches worldwide of people making kneelers, and my mother-in-law made a whole row of kneelers in the church that my husband grew up in. But Kissy and Patricia O'Neill, who's still a member of this congregation, designed and painted these canvases, and there are going to be 33 total, which is significant for the years that Jesus was in his on earth. And, I mean, his ministry is 3 years, but that he was on earth. And they're given in memory of and in honor of various people. And I would recommend, if you haven't, to go up just in between the services or before or after a service and really look at them, because they're works of art. On the back is who they're given in memory or in honor of. And if you know, were looking for a specific one, that's how you would find it. And it's just a very interesting. It takes lots of time to do this. We've had dwindling numbers and, you know, a little bit of ebb and flow of stitchers. Mary Kay and Karen Shires have done multiple kneelers. But if you're interested in needlework right now, the kneelers are all assigned, but things happen sometimes. Sometimes people combine efforts to do one of the kneelers. Then there are things like the offering plate centers. But if you are interested in any sort of needlework like that, along with knitting, please contact me or Karen Shires.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to introduce Kyle Hoekstra, who oversees the lectors, those who read or read the prayers or read the scriptures on Sundays.
Good morning. I am Kyle Hoekstra. I'm the lay leader for the lectors. And as you can see, we assist in the liturgy. And we assist in the liturgy by the proclamation of God's word. And we are firm believers that the word of God is living and active. And if it's living and active, then the way that we present the gospel should be living and active as well. It doesn't mean that we have to be bombastic and over the top, but it does mean that it needs to be delivered with some emphasis on the right syllables, right? So we are firmly in the belief that the way that Scripture is read and is held in high esteem is very important for our congregation, and to be able to communicate God's living word to the congregation in such a way. And so we have a short training that we go through with anyone that might be interested in reading. And it's not just reading Scripture, but it's also leading prayers of the people. So those are the two kind of responsibilities that lectors are responsible for. We're scheduled out. If you're coming to first service, then you'd be scheduled in first service, second service, clearing second service. And it's kind of, you kind of rotate through. One week you'll be lector, and the next time you're scheduled, it'll probably be prayers of the people. And so that's the basis of what we do. And if you have any interest, we'd love to have your voice lent to this ministry. So thank you very much. Got one? Thank you. You can't be prepared. Thanks, Kat. Hey guys. So I'm going to do a few of these. If you were seeing the chalice, this lector's page is also chalice bearers and lay Eucharistic ministers. So sort of all the things that lay people are doing on a Sunday morning up front to help with the service. You may have wondered at some point, when you're new here, if you hadn't been in Anglican church before, who the people are who are sitting with the priests who are also wearing white stuff, who then, you know, bring the cups and stuff around. We run a holiness test every year, and the holiest people in the church are called. No, of course I'm kidding. But I mean, when I first came here, I remember wondering, like, who are those people and why do they set up there? And how do they get to set up there? And the truth is, anyone who's a member of the church can be a chalice bearer. What they do is obvious. You've seen it. They carry the cup. The priests do the bread, and they do the cup. It's not something that ever occurred to me. It's something that I would want to do. But when I saw that God was moving me towards ordination, it's like, well, I'm going to be serving communion. As a layperson, I can do the cup. I should see what that's like. I remember the first time I ever did it, I was just concerned about spilling wine down someone, you know, chin and shirt and on the ground. It's like, oh, this is... I thought, you know, after I've done this 10 times, maybe I'll feel comfortable enough to not be self-conscious about what I'm doing. I cried all the way through the first time. This is the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. It's an incredibly beautiful thing to be in a position. It's an incredibly humbling thing to be in a position of serving the body and being in that tender space with the body as they're receiving. Honestly, I wish everybody could take a turn in doing this. Because it breaks down this idea that some kind of like special cast of people get to do that kind of ministry. We again believe in the priesthood of all believers. We're all invited into this work, but it's beautiful. And if it's something you're interested in doing, if you're a member of the church, you're eligible. I'll train you, and we'll do it together up there. Then there's something on the page called lay Eucharistic ministers. These are folks who we have reserve sacraments, so the blessed bread and wine that we didn't use, that we set aside every week. And there are opportunities for shut-ins and people who can't make it to take Eucharist to them. I do that too. Priests do it. But sometimes there's a need, and if people are interested in helping that way, it's a really beautiful ministry to go and be present with them and serve them the Eucharist. So that's that page. Then your very first page is Acolyte Ministry, and that's a place where kids from the ages of 6 to 18 can also be a part of the service on Sunday mornings. We haven't been using them quite as much recently, but sometimes, depending on the service you're in, you'll see kids who are also dressed in the albs, the white robes, and there are two jobs. One is the ones that carry the candles, so even a pretty small kid can do that if they're up for it. Bearing the light of Christ. And then the other is a crucifer who carries the cross. Adults do that sometimes too. But then they also assist the priest with setting the table for communion and that sort of thing. So again, it's just a beautiful way that we can even have kids participating in the service at that level. If you have kids or are a kid and you're interested in that, let me know. We'll get them trained and included. Then further in, I'm going to talk to you about something called Extraordinary Lives. This is a ministry that we've had for a few years. At one time, the woman who was leading our children's ministry, she's still here, but her daughter's autistic, and she talked to us a lot about how for families of young people and kids who have special needs, church can be one of the hardest things because you're always worried about appropriateness. And coming into an environment like this, you're just so worried about that it's just easier not to be at church. And so we wanted to be a place of welcome for those families. And Extraordinary Lives is a way that we do that. During the sermon, any kid who's school age and up is invited. Any kid school age and up stays in the service except during the sermon when they go out to have teaching at their level. But also, anyone with special needs of any age, really, is invited to go out to their own space where they have friends, buddies that work with them, and there's a lesson that's built specially for them. So it's a place of encouragement, and it's also connected to a larger community of folks who are involved in that. It's really beautiful, really special, and I've seen it change lives. I've seen the first couple of weeks that we did this, there were a couple of these young people who always came to the communion rail. And always before, there had been kind of they received, but there was no connection. But they were totally transformed. Their engagement totally changed through being a part of this. I love it. It's a really special thing. If you want to be a help, if you want to help with that, if you want to be a buddy, participate, you would be most welcome. Okay, and children's ministry. Tanja talked about early childhood. So again, that's kids who are before school age. Then we also have children's ministry. The person who would normally come and do that is sick this morning, and then the other person is actually running the children's ministry. But as you would imagine, it's pretty straightforward. It covers the kids who are between, essentially elementary school, right? So youth is high school and junior high. This is the kids in elementary school. We have, let's see what's on the page for that one. It's under C. Yeah, so there's a lot of information here. So the most obvious thing is that what I mentioned a second ago, during the sermon, the kids go out to have their own time with their own teaching, and there are volunteers to support that, and then they have their own Sunday school time during this time where they're being taught. And so this is actually the first place I ever volunteered, was to be a teacher, and it's really fun and really sweet, and we try to make the material. It doesn't take a huge amount of preparation, but it's a really sweet place of service where kids are growing and being built up. I would encourage you to look over that, and as with all the other areas, if this is an area you would like to serve, we would love to have you. Becca Swarna is the staff member in charge of that. One more thing that I'm going to stick in. I forgot to do it this time. Everything that we're talking about this morning, these are all ways of thinking about what is my place in the church. There's no pressure to get involved quickly. If you need to heal and just rest, do that. We want you to know about these different things. But this all reflects stuff that's going on inside the church, the inner ministry. But there's also 1,000 things going on outwardly facing that we're not talking about this morning, ways of serving the community. There's a very long list. I'd be glad to talk to you about those. But an internal thing that sets that up is called the Missions Committee. We have a group of people who, it's usually 6 or 8 people, who are sort of like a board, who every year 10% of the church's budget is pulled off the top. There's no discussion of how we'll use it for missions. So in a sense, the church itself tithes to outward needs. Actually gives 20% because 10% goes to our organization to do missions overseas and stuff. And then 10% is used by the church. And the missions team decides how that money will be used, what organizations will be supported. But it's not like outside organizations. It's mostly stuff that's grown up out of the church. And there's so much stuff like that. That's something you're elected to. But if you're ever interested in being part of something like that, you can talk to me about it. I'm very involved with it. And I could connect you. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, and then ministry is broken down to greeters, ushers, the coffee team. And so Ethan's here to talk about what it means to be an usher.
I forgot my phone was recording to help me.
Okay, ushering is part of the hospitality team, like Kathy said. Greeters get the congregation in the door, and the ushers get them to the table. I'm standing in for Kevin Couch, who is usually wearing a suit, biggest smile in the room, nice guy, talk to him. Our role as ushers is to keep the space worshipful and the service on track so that the rest of the congregation can focus on their liturgy and centering God in their own lives. The duties that we do are distributing the programs and announcements before, we close the sanctuary for confession, we count the congregation, we notify Children's Church when it's time to return for communion. We have the great privilege of presenting the elements, the bread and the wine, to the priests for the congregation, and then collecting the offerings of the congregation and delivering those to the altar. After the priest invites everyone up to participate at the table, we manage the orderly procession to the rail. Throughout the service, the ushers help clean up spills in the sanctuary if they happen. And then after the closing blessing, we put the offering in the safe and return the sanctuary to its original status. We clean out all leftover cups, bulletins, and we straighten the chairs and kneelers. It's a co-ed ministry. You don't have to be a guy to participate in it, even though it seems a lot do. And it is really a bridge between the lay Eucharistic ministers and the greeters. There's a sacrificial component to ushering. You have to get here early, you have to stay a little late, and you might miss part of the sermon if you're counting, or part of Sunday school if you're cleaning up afterwards. But I've found that these forbearances really add meaning to my personal liturgy on Sunday morning. It helps me remember that I'm not just coming to church to get something from God, but to serve the world and serve God's creation in a practical way, and starting my week actively serving others greatly improves my daily living. Thank you.
Thank you. The remaining ministries, these leaders were not able to be here. The altar team are those people who come prior to the service and set the table. And we need a setup for first service, and then in between services, we need it to be changed out. The joy of this ministry, I think that I hear people have in that, is it's just setting the table for your family. So if you look at it that way and you see that this is the Lord's table, there's a lot of richness and joy, and that's a place where you're trained and you work along somebody for a while till you know what's going on. But again, all of these ministries, you serve the amount you can. You know, if it's once a month or once a quarter, whatever it is, we welcome that. The next is the flower team, and those are the people who provide the flowers for the altar. And then next, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Grief Share. You may have been hearing about it through the announcements, but Grief Share is a national ministry, and we have a local group that represents this ministry for people who are embracing grief, whether it's from death or a loss of some other type, whether it's current or it happened years and years ago, and the Lord's just bringing you to a place to process that grief. And so we welcome that ministry. It will run in the spring for 13 weeks, but we have specifically starting tomorrow night. It's called Surviving the Holidays. So if you want to be a part of that, it's a two-hour meeting, or if you know someone who really needs to face grief as they look at the holidays, which is very, very rough, I encourage you to invite them. And then next, Sisters of the Skillet. This is a group of women who help provide food for events that we have here, whether it's a funeral or a reception, or if somebody has a need in their family and you want to help cook or provide a meal, that's Sisters of the Skillet. And then last, I wanted to tell you about the coffee team and the greeter team. If you love being hospitable, that's easy for you, I would love to encourage you to become part of the greeter ministry or helping serve the coffee and donuts. I have led that ministry for a while, and since my health has been compromised, I'm pulling back, and Jesse Smith, who's been with children, is now going to lead that. So you would see her contact information on there. Pam Holder helps coordinate the greeters. That's why her name is on there on a lay level. So staff-wise, Jesse will be overseeing that. The other piece is that once you all finish this class, it has always been our desire to help you connect. That's why we call this the Connection Ministry. Help you connect within the body. And that's something that I have done, but again, am pulling back. So if you start hearing from Jesse Smith, that's all normal. Though you may not have met her yet, she may be calling you and wanting to get to know you or help you find your place here. She'll be your contact person. I wanted to remind you, I've gotten several responses. If you care to respond by joining the church, by signing the covenant, and then if you care to participate in confirmation, or if you have any questions that have been rumbling in you since Robert spoke last week, please see Dustin or myself, and we can help answer that. Do you guys have any questions about it? Do you want to ask or anything that has been said? Well, I think we're going to be able to, yeah.
I just want to throw one more thing in.
Yeah. We'll come on up. I'm done.
One thing we have never mentioned in here, but it just occurred to me that maybe we should. This is not an invitation to be a part of something necessarily, but I want you to know about it. St. Andrew's does a lot of ministry outward. This morning we've been hearing about ministry sort of to each other, building up the church. But there's something at St. Andrew's called benevolence that gets no attention. We don't advertise it anywhere. We literally never talk about it out loud. But there is a fund that people, the only way it gets money is members of the church say, I want to give money to this specifically. And I don't know even how that happens because we don't advertise it. But they do. It happens. And that money is used for the specific purpose of addressing needs inside the body. And I want you to know that as long as I've been involved, any significant financial need that was related to, was a significant need in the body that we knew about has not gone unaddressed. I'm not saying that every penny that everybody wants has, I don't know about everything that happens, but as people have, it's a routine situation that the church is stepping into someone's financial need. Again, not resolving it completely, but is able to help in some meaningful way. I want you to know that that happens, that that's part of the body life of the church. It's quiet because we want it to be private. But if you're ever in need, you can contact me about that. If you ever know of someone who's in need, you can contact me about that. There have been times where the fund has gone to zero, and I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do about this because people still have needs. And then miraculously, the thing will be filled again. And so I'm always keeping an eye on it, but I primarily manage that. So if I want you to know that exists. And then the last thing is just that this is our last regular meeting, but you should have received an email from me about the possibility of continuing for probably 3 more weeks, though it'd be like 1 week, another week, skipping a week and coming back the next, because that third week is actual confirmation. I hope that I've been clear in communicating what that's about, but if you have questions about it, ask me. But that's simply to say that this potentially is not the last time that we would meet in this space. So it's been a pleasure to be with you all. Really enjoyed it. And as Kathy said, especially around these questions of confirmation, but anything, part of the point of the class is for you to feel like you know a minister, to have a relationship with a minister. And my door is open. My email is open. Mm-hmm. My phone is open. Mm-hmm. Contact me. I'd love to visit. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for giving us a body to be a part of. You never meant for us to be alone. You never meant for us to be alone. You're with us, and one of the main ways that you're with us is through your body. Imperfect as it is full of your Spirit, full of your grace. So help us, Jesus, to both give and receive your love in this place. Teach us, show us where it is that you would have us be your hands and feet as a part of this body, both to the body and going out to the world, just like a real physical body. Each part supports the whole for the purposes of the body's ministry and service. And that's what we are. That's what I am. So we thank you for calling us together, and I pray your blessing on each one of these as they discern and find their place in your body. We pray it with thankful hearts in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.